today on Real Radio.
If you understand the God of the Bible, you will come to a quick understanding and realization that God is not subject to science. He's the very creator of science. And he can even contradict the law of science that he's engineered. God can supersede gravity any moment because he's the originator of it. That's not impossible.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Paul's Great Defense, Part 2, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Many years have gone by since the Apostle Paul first began his missionary journeys, and now Paul is back in Caesarea, ready to go to Rome for trial and for the end of his mission. In Part 1 of Paul's Great Defense from Acts chapters 25 and 26, Paul's testimony in front of a crowd of thousands, including King Herod Agrippa, brought all of mankind on equal ground before God, and his account of coming to Jesus Christ told of Jesus being the Messiah that they had always longed for. This outraged the people, but didn't deter Peter from sharing the gospel. Still, in Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 32, Paul is interrupted with shouts of how his great learning was driving him insane. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that knowing God builds within us an assurance for living life. Paul's power to share came from knowing God. Paul's confidence was from the Word of God, and Paul's peace came from being in the will of God. Paul knew who and what he believed in, and that was how he was able to give his defense. And now, in his lesson called Paul's Great Defense, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Listen, why don't you grab your Bible right now this morning and turn to Acts chapter 26, and we're going to continue on with our study about Paul's great defense. And I want to warn you up front, there's enough in this message to offend every one of us. I have been convicted sick over this message. The Lord has taken me to the woodshed several times. And I want you to understand that if you begin to feel a little uneasy during the course of this flight, there is no motion bag, sickness bag in front of you. It is the Holy Spirit speaking. Please, I mean this in all seriousness. If the Lord begins to move through the teaching of his word and you feel an intensity upon your heart, it's a rather uncomfortable feeling. The room will begin to get a little warm. Seriously, you will feel a little sweatiness of palms. You will feel and experience thoughts like, I hate that man standing up there. I don't like being here. Listen, write it out, just like a bucking bronc. Hang on. Because if that happens to any of us, consider yourself preciously blessed of God, because in some ways, that's how he speaks. Not all ways does he speak that way. But he is the ultimate father and a great dad and a wonderful parent. And if there's something that needs to be changed in our lives, he's going to speak to us clearly if we haven't been listening. And so this morning, the ushers have been instructed. The doors are locked. You can't leave anyway. So just write it out, okay? Because at the very end, your heart and your mind may be changed. So Paul's great defense, we're looking at this in Acts chapter 26, beginning at verse 24 now, where we left off. It says, now as he was thus making his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself. Such learning has driven you mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king, before whom I speak freely, knows these things, for I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention. Since these things were not done in a corner, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. And when he had said these things, the king stood up, and as well as the governor and Bernice and those who sat with them. And when they had gone off to the side, they talked among themselves, saying, this man is doing nothing worthy of death, nor of chains. And then Agrippa said to Festus, this man might have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. The scene we spoke about last week, thousands of people are gathered around. Anywhere, according to the historians, 18,000 to 22,000 people gathered in that amphitheater. The pomp, the glory is immense. Agrippa's in town. Festus is there. There's a tremendous atmosphere. When someone was going to debate in that great Caesarean amphitheater, thousands of people would come there, even dress up for the affair. And not only that, but because the hierarchy of the land was there, the four generals that were over the group of soldiers in that city would have been present. In other words, the city would have been a great place to drive your chariot around at that hour because there was basically no traffic. Everybody had gone to this great hearing. And so as they were there, Paul being questioned, he comes there and Agrippa says, "Why don't you speak?" And we saw that last week. And so Paul stands up and gives his hand of motion, hand of respect. He greets him with his hand, a custom that is normal there in that environment and in that culture toward authority. And then Paul begins to give his reasons why he's been arrested and why he's standing trial. And this is basically pre-trial or pre-hearing address that Paul gives in front of this great crowd. But there are thousands there. And Paul has got chains on. Remember, he's a little tiny guy, little old man. Everybody's dressed up, but Paul is in prison attire. And everybody's watching, and it's Paul's moment. In fact, his great defense has gone down in history, both in Christianity, of course, in our Bible, and in Roman history. He gives a great defense. But he stands there all alone in front of this crowd. I got to tell you, my wife's going to kill me for saying this, but I remember we were at Anaheim Stadium one day and it was packed. And I got up, I went, I had a hot dog attack. And man, I went there and I got relish and onions and sauerkraut. I love to build it up. You know, you got to carry it back on your shoulder, kind of a hot dog guy, you know? So I'm sitting there and this guy taps me on the shoulder and he's, the crowd's going crazy. Man, I got my hot dog. And this guy taps me on the shoulder and he says, "Hey, isn't that your wife down there?" "No way, man." And I look and her seat's empty. That's started to make me a little nervous. And then I look down there, and then on top of the Angels dugout is my wife. Leading the crowd in a cheer. It's a true story. And I just kind of sunk. And no doubt she's going to want me to tell you that it was packed, and she was on top of the dugout. It wasn't a baseball game. It was a rally, a Christian rally. It was before the Harvest Crusade days. But still, in front of all those thousands, I looked rather surprised, rather not in the flow. Paul is standing there, totally an outcast. The very Jews who had him arrested and accused him, they're all standing there, no doubt, gloating in what might happen to Paul any minute. And Paul, so to speak, is all by himself, standing there. And what a scene it is. And so this morning, we're going to look at three things that are going to be very important to us as Christians. You may not be a Christian this morning. Well, listen, just go along with the ride, okay? Your part will come at the end. The bulk of this message is toward the Christian. And so we need to understand a few things. Our God, as Paul began to recite what had happened to him, speaks that he became under question because he believed in the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, who did miracles. Specifically, the point is raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Remember last week and the week before? Raising Christ from the dead. And Paul says, "Why do you guys think, and Agrippa, why do you think it's some big deal that God should raise the dead?" Now, you may sit here this morning and say, "That's impossible." You know what? You need to read the book by J.B. Phillips. J.B. Phillips wrote a book called Your God is Too Small. If you understand the God of the Bible, you will come to a quick understanding and realization that God is not subject to science. He's the very creator of science. And he can even contradict the law of science that he's engineered. God can supersede gravity any moment because he's the originator of it. That's not impossible. These things have been created, but I want to ask you, created by whom? We read in Psalm, 53 this morning, the fool has said in his heart, there's no God. It's also in Psalm 14. your God's too small if you can't see God raising someone from the dead. But it's not just someone, it's Jesus Christ. I would love to get a couple of 747s bound for Israel, and all of us sign up and get on a tour, and over we go, and we get off the bus, and we stand there in front of an empty tomb. That's powerful. How do you handle that? And we're going to give reasons this morning about why you should be a Christian, but maybe more this morning important than that is for the Christian this morning giving us armament, giving us power, giving us ability to say what we know to be true. Why are we pussyfooting around with the truth? Paul doesn't tiptoe in front of the crowd. Shh, I'm sorry, God, I know I got these chains, but you know, it's cool. I want to talk to you about 7 principles on how to have a happy life. No, he says, hey man, this is the reason why I've been called here. And he lets out the truth. And do we, as Christians, have the truth? Are we Christians? Are we sure? And what power can we expect in our lives if we are believers? And we're going to look at that this morning. Paul's defense was wrapped up in the message of Christ. He gave Jesus to the people. That's why he was guilty. I got this great article, this deep theological cut out of the LA Times, Peanuts cartoon here. Listen to this, by Schultz, of course. Listen to this. Lucy, isn't Lucy Charlie Brown's sister? Who? Linus is a guy. Charlie Brown and his sister. Oh, we're eating up tape. We got to keep going. Sally, is that her name? Sally's standing there in Charlie's house, I guess, okay? Somehow related, possibly. There's a knock at the door. Hi, I'm from the new storefront church, just blocks up the street from your house. Would you like to come to our church? Sally says, I already have a church. Well, we have good singing. Well, so do we. We sing Blessed Assurance. Do you sing Sweet Hour of Prayer? Well, no, but we give our money in little envelopes. Who cares? My dad's the preacher. Good for him. He says the world's coming to an end. So what? She says, Sally, I feel like that every time I get on the school bus. Anyway, you know where we are. Well, you know where I am. Then she sits down next to Charlie and says, boy, those deep theological questions just wear me out. And you know what? Like never before in the history of the church, Sally and the others, they never got to the point, and so often neither do we. We want people to become Christians. We love our neighbors. We love the people around us. We love our family. But we never get to the point because we're afraid we might offend them. And so we'll pat people on the back and hug them and kiss them and just run all the way around the point. And then, God forbid, but it's happened, you'll call and you'll be weeping and crying because grandma died or grandpa died or Aunt Betty died and you never got to the point. Well, by God's grace, somebody did. But why are we like this as Christians? Why do we kind of dance around it? We are afraid of confrontation. And you want to know the deep reason why? It's because we're afraid of being rejected. But even deeper than that, when you find out that Christ has accepted you in him, in his offering on the cross, you are accepted in the Beloved, in Jesus Christ, the truth of the Bible can so possess your soul that like Jeremiah, your bones will wax within you like fire burning because you've got to tell somebody about Jesus. Your passion will burn. And we need to be like that as Christians in these last days. Why are we not? Because we don't know the Word of God. We don't know the Bible. And we're going to see these examples from Paul. First thing we'll see right now, verses 24 to 27 is our first point. And that is Paul's power to share came from knowing God, came from knowing him. In verse 24, he says, now as he thus made his defense, this is a great word, circle in your Bible, defense. It's a legal plea to give an answer for yourself. It's where we get the word apologetics or apology. I mentioned this before. But it means to state your case. In English, it is the apology to make an apology. But our culture, we've messed up the English language. What comes to mind when you say, I'm going to apologize? Isn't it, I'm going to say I'm sorry for something I've done? That is the action. That's not the real meaning of the word apology. The word apology is to state your case because you believe it's true. Paul is going to give his apology. He's going to state his case because he knows it's true. It's an argument, a defense. He's going to speak about the truth. He's not going to say he's sorry for anything. He's going to say, I'm going to give you my apology. I'm going to give you the truth, the facts, just the facts. And that's what he was guilty about. The nationalistic Jew was outraged at his belief in the scriptures that the Messiah, in fact, had come. They were furious. And the self-righteous man, the man or woman this morning and back then, 2,000 years ago, who thought that they could go to heaven on their own merits, became furious. But we need to understand that there's man's way to God. Listen, there is man's way to God, and there's God's way to God. Man's way to God leads in judgment, and the Bible teaches an expulsion from heaven. God's way to God is through one door, and his name is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life, Christ said. But in verse 24, Festus says, you are mad. He interrupted Paul, just cut him right off. You're mad. This is a great word. It means to be a maniac. The word can be translated insane. Listen, it can also mean to be beside yourself or outside yourself, or to talk or argue with yourself. Meaning there's two of you now. Paul, there's two of you. Man, you've snapped, buddy. You flipped out. You're mad. There's two of you going on. Listen, isn't that kind of scary if you've ever talked to yourself, like in the car, driving down the street? Hey, how's it going? You get in an argument, I guess you're really in trouble with yourself. But Festus says, man, you're a wacko, man. You're insane for what you believe. You're insane. But Agrippa's the one who's the big kingpin in the whole affair, and he is accustomed to Jewish teaching. He's got a Jewish background. He knows that what Paul is saying is recorded in the Old Testament. So there's two different types of hearers in the audience of thousands. He says with a loud voice, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning has made you mad. That is true. Paul did learn much, but he wasn't crazy. Paul was brilliant, and he learned a great deal. But his power came from knowing God. Look with me back in Acts 26, verse 18. What is the purpose of Paul's message? What is the gospel purpose? You ever wonder what that is? You know, what's the purpose of the gospel? Why do I need to know it? Why should I be able to give it? And as a Christian, what is it that I believe? Verse 18 says, the first part, telling us why the message was given, it says, first of all, number one, to open their eyes. Lord willing, that's what might happen to us this morning, that our eyes will be opened. But verse 18 says, number one, to open their eyes, the gospel's given. Look at number two. Keep reading in verse 18. In order to, number two, turn them from darkness to light. That means there needs to be a change in every person's life, from darkness to light. Number three, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may, number four, receive forgiveness of sins. Don't you want that? Isn't that a great thing? Number five, to receive an inheritance among those who are sanctified by having faith in Christ. Wow. Why is this the gospel? Why is this the point? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, says that every person born into the world, every one of us, I don't care who you are, what color you are, how old you are, every person born into the world, the Bible says, according to 2 Corinthians 4, 4, has been blinded to spiritual truth by the devil. It says so. It says right there that the God of this world, and it's a little g, the ruler of this age, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. So you may think that you're not a believer this morning just because you think you're smarter than everybody else. But the truth is, your thinking is upside down. You and I have been born into the world S-I-N positive. And we will be S-I-N positive until Christ comes in and cleans out our hearts, and it's done by the Lord and by Him alone. And so we either have hope in what we can produce for God and do for Him, or do we have hope in Christ, what He's done for us? Now, I've got to tell you, especially those who are visiting, normally in these messages at this church, you're going to hear always about what God's done for us, because that's the bottom line. But today, you're going to hear about your response as a believer, what we should be doing. And we're going to get into it right now. to give the message Paul's giving with the effect that Paul's giving, we need to know God. That's true. And how do we do that? Three ways. Jot them down. Jot them down. Three things. Number one, we need to communicate to God in prayer. It's obvious. We need to communicate to God in prayer. Prayer is where we begin. Every one of us came to know Jesus Christ at some point in time in our lives by saying, Lord Jesus, calling out on his name. The Bible says it's calling out upon his name that saves us, Romans 10. In Acts chapter 13. We call out to him, we pray, and we just pray. You know, we just talk. Isn't it funny? You be with some people and we're talking, hey, how you doing? Great, how you doing? And fine, and let's pray. And then you bow your head and you pray, and then they pray. And it's, oh, God, I just got, Lord. And they're like shaking. It's like, man, what's going on? Prayer is to just talk with God, and we don't talk to God, you know, like we're on an electric football field, you know, bouncing and all over. I don't know why people do that, but maybe it's more spiritual or something. I don't know. Maybe God talks like that, and we've never heard him. I don't know. But you just talk to him. Hi, God, I love you today. Lead me, guide me, help me. I want to follow you in Jesus' name, amen. And talk to him. He wants to talk to you. Second thing to having a strong, victorious Christian life, a productive life, a powerful life, is having the Word of God in us. That is basically, of course, Jesus Christ in the sense of the Word, knowing the Word. The Word will cause us to run well this race, knowing the Word. And that's why Paul is giving and able to give a great defense. He knows the Word. The third thing is fellowship with Christians. Yes, you can go out to dinner with the world. You can go out this with the world. You can do that with the world. But the point is, you need to spend more time with Christians in fellowship to get charged up. Or what I would say for my life, fellowship for me really gets me oiled up.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Paul's Great Defense, Part 2. Thanks for listening. Many people who claim to be a Christian are trying to live the life without knowing how to. Don't let that be you. Learn God's way and then follow his lead. Paul's Great Defense Part 2 is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit, and will continue on the next edition of Real Radio. One way to get lots of good instruction and have quality Christian resources at your fingertips is to download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. All of our Real Life media presentations are there, along with devotions from Pastor Jack, how to know God as your personal Savior, and how that applies to your life, all that, and you'll get immediate access to Pastor Jack's Facebook channel. And when you tap on what's called the Tools and Resources tab, you can get what we like to call Real Life Basics. Some of our video titles include What is a Christian? How to Grow in Christ? What if I sin? There are also videos on how I can share what Christ has done for me, the Holy Spirit, our helper, the Bible, how can I understand it, and a lot more. We trust that the resources this app makes available will be incredibly valuable and a part of your Christian walk. You've heard us say many times on our Real Radio program that it's our hope that through Jesus Christ you will know real life. We really believe that. We're not just saying it. The Real Life mobile app is available on the App Store, Android Market, and on Windows Phone Store. We've also made it available for a download at our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you'd like to get a hold of us, you can write this number down and call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you could write to us if you'd like, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways that you can connect with us, like Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Contact tab. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.